Welcome in episode 99, a kind of special edition of our gambling show. This is going to be coming out sometime on Wednesday so we can get the Thanksgiving Day games in. Also, because it's on Wednesday, we're recording Wednesday morning. We get none of the injury report info that we rely on except for the Thanksgiving games. So when it comes to our picks, we might rely or lean on those Thanksgiving games a little bit heavier than we normally would. Also, I understand there's going to be news, potential some quarterback changes in some of the other games. We obviously will not include those in our picks. We don't know Justin Fields' health. We don't know if Zach Wilson's still the starting quarterback for the Jets. But that's the negative of doing the show today. The bright side is this. For the first time in 2 months, we have 16 games to get to because buys are not over, but there are no buys this Thanksgiving week because we have 3 games on Thursday, so they want to have a full Sunday's worth of games. The buys will come back next week and then wrap up, I believe, the following week. So, it's week 12. It's episode 99. Unfortunately, first, we must discuss week 9, which I think was our worst week of the year. We were 1-3-1 last week. Chicago pushed against Atlanta. The Raiders covered in overtime against the Broncos. And now let's discuss the other ones. The Rams +4.5 against New Orleans. I was early on how bad the Rams are. I've not been a Rams believer. So why did I pick them? Because New Orleans is, you give me that look. Hold on a second.
I was saying something.
Hold on a second. The Rams were covering until Stafford went out with another concussion. By the way, the concussion, the lack of conversation on the Tua concussion stuff to the Stafford concussion stuff is very interesting. Maybe because no one was watching that game. But he was in concussion protocol. He went back. He played this game. Now he's out in concussion protocol again. And real concerns for him, obviously.
The visual of Tua.
Exactly right. Well, the visual and the fact that it was a nationally televised game. Right. So everybody was watching it. But the Rams were covering. The quarterback got hurt. I don't feel badly about that one. Pittsburgh's offense did enough to cover against Cincinnati. Their defense is what let them down in this particular game. Also, you and the producers let me down in this particular game by trying to guilt me into going with Mike Tomlin as a home underdog. I knew when I was making the pick, I was like, man, everyone last week was talking about Tomlin as a home dog. Now everyone's going to be on it. That was a bad pick by me. And the Giants just falling flat on their face against the Detroit Lions. I had them laying 3. They lost by double digits. That was an embarrassing one. Not a good week. I do feel like we got a little screwed on the Rams pick. Not a good week. It puts us 3 games under 500 for the year, which means 5-0 this week, we're above 500. 4-1, we're right at 500 after Thanksgiving. Ready for a good playoff run. We're not even going to go over what the record of the right move is because that has been disastrous. 5 games to pick this week in the first segment of the show. Then we'll break down the other 11 games as quickly as we can. Then also maybe throw in a little World Cup gambling opportunities. We might do that as well. First pick, Detroit getting a full 10 at home against Buffalo on Thanksgiving. Here's the logic here. Buffalo has not looked dominant in quite some time.
Right.
They are now on a short week, as is Detroit. However, I think that hurts Buffalo a little bit more because Josh Allen's elbow was still banged up. So now he has to go with a game against the Browns where he did not play great. I know they won that game. He threw for less than 200 yards, and he didn't run the football. Even though he had 7 yards rushing, even though they needed to find a way to create offense. So the Bills' offense is not overly explosive. Detroit's getting healthier. Detroit's offense at home this year has been far better than on the road. It's the biggest game for the Lions, my God, in years. National TV, Thanksgiving, on a 3-game winning streak. I'm getting 10 full points. Even if it's 21-3 at the half, I feel alive because the Bills have had a hard time putting together consecutive dominant halves of football. I'm not picking Detroit to win, but 10 points is too much. Detroit plus 10.
Thanksgiving road favorites are 19-5 since 2004.
19-5 against the spread.
Against
yep.
the spread. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jared Goff is certainly the guy to make that 19-6.
Okay. I'd seen that stat as well. That on Thanksgiving, when a road team's favored, they usually blow out the opposition. I get that. I do not think the Bills are currently in the blowout business. Now, I understand if they end up crushing Detroit, this is going to be thrown in my face. People are going to clip it. I get that. But let me just make the argument here as far as Buffalo should not be laying 10 on the road against anybody right now, much less a semi-frisky Lions team. They played the Browns on a neutral site. They won by 8. They played the Vikings, were up by 17 and lost. Played the Jets, were up by double digits and lost. Played the Packers when the Packers were in the midst of a tailspin. Only won by 10 in a game. The Packers, it was just waiting for the Bills to take total control of. If you remember that game, they only scored 3 points in the second half. Beat the Chiefs by 4. Now that's actually their best game of the season, their best win of the season.
Yeah.
They have not blown anyone out since they played the Steelers at home the first week of October. They blew out the Rams early in the year. They crushed the Titans early in the year, and they crushed the Steelers. But that was all by October 9th. Since then, they have 0 11-point or more victories. I don't think the Lions are dreadful. I do think the Lions right now are actually finding ways to stay in football games. And the Lions have been a team that it was early in the year at home was the only place their offense traveled. Back-to-back week scoring 31 points. I like the Lions getting 10. We'll stay on Thanksgiving. Another dog. The Giants getting 9.5 at Dallas. We know what the Giants are going to do. The Giants are just going to run Saquon. Saquon's coming off his worst game of the year. They're going to run Daniel Jones. They're going to try to shorten this game. We also, last week, Dallas coming off a devastating loss. The Vikings coming off a galvanizing win. They met each other. Dallas kicked their ass. This week, Dallas coming off a dominant victory. The Giants coming off a head-scratching, indefensible loss to the Lions. So now those motivations are reversed. Also, I think that, or I shouldn't say also, but to reiterate the point about the Giants running Saquon, I just think this is going to be a game where instead of each team getting 11 or 12 possessions, each team's going to get 8 or 9 possessions because they're going to be long drives with the Giants running the football. The Giants also understand if they lose this game, it could go south for the Giants real quick.
Yeah.
I know they were 7-2, but the Giants have one of the most brutal schedules the rest of the way. In fact, by strength of schedule, the hardest schedule the rest of the way. After the Cowboys game, they have the Commanders, Eagles, Commanders. So it's 4 straight divisional games, then the Vikings, then the Colts, and then the Eagles again to finish the year. So the Giants, it's been a good story and a good season. They could still miss the playoffs. They're only minus 140 to make the playoffs from the odds makers. I think the Giants keep this close. I would not be shocked if a somewhat immature Dallas team loses this game. I also think that Micah Parsons' impact is going to be mitigated to an extent in two ways. One is Andrew Thomas, Giants tackles, one of the best in football. The other is I think the Giants will do to Micah Parsons what the Chiefs did to Nicky Bosa against the Niners a month ago, run right at him. So you try to kind of displace his pass rushing tendencies by running at him and making him question himself on passing downs. I like the Giants getting 9.5.
I can't tell if you're believing in my guy Daniel Jones or
no.
Saquon.
No.
The Giants did lose 2 starting corners, mm-hmm. and they just lost a starting wide receiver 4 days ago. So are you sure about this?
Listen, the starting wide receiver injury doesn't concern me that much because they shouldn't be throwing the ball much anyway. The passes they should be throwing are to Saquon. The starting corner injuries do concern me to a degree.
Yeah.
But I also think that Cowboys are going to try. I don't think the Cowboys got their blowout last week. I think the Cowboys understand if they win this game, if they win this game, they're going to be in a situation where the one seed is on the table for them. Now, that might sound silly because they have three losses and Philly only has one. But Philly, they have the same number of divisional losses, and Dallas gets to play Philly again. So Dallas will go in. I think Dallas feels like we win this game. If we can beat Philly, if Philly stumbles one more time the rest of the way, we will control our own destiny to win the division and to potentially be the one seed. The reason I like that when I'm taking the Giants is I think the Cowboys are not going to, if this is a 7-point game late, I don't think they're going to be trying to add style points. I think they're just going to be trying to escape with a win. I also think the Giants can win outright. I like the Giants plus 9.5. What I was trying to tell you a moment ago is you're missing a button on your shirt, showing a little belly button to the audience, which I understand might help our YouTube subscribers, but a little distracting for me. Next game. Tampa Bay laying 3 in Cleveland. Okay, Brady undefeated since the divorce. The Bucs coming off their best game of the year. What? They didn't play this past week.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's coming off a long, yeah, they had a long rest.
Their best game of the year against Seattle, and then the bye. So they're rested. Cleveland, on the other hand, just had to go to Detroit for a game. Now they're back in Cleveland. I think Cleveland, I watched that Buffalo game very, very closely, and Cleveland's inability to take advantage of a Buffalo team that was just miserable for the first quarter and a half of that game does not give me any faith in them moving forward until Deshaun gets back. I also think there has to be a bit of a demoralization for the Browns because things started for them this year. If you remember, they looked like, oh, you know, that they could be a more than frisky team. Their first game of the year, they beat the Panthers. Game two, they gave it away against the Jets. That was the Nick Chubb game. Game three, they crushed the Steelers. Since then, though, heartbreaking loss to the Falcons. Heartbreaking loss to the Chargers. Blown out by the Patriots, beat by the Ravens. They then crushed the Bengals in one of the oddest games of the year, and then got crushed by the Dolphins, got beaten by the Bills. The Browns, I think, are a team that recognizes their season's a wrap. The Bucs, on the other hand, are a team that recognizes we win this game, we have real momentum in a wide open NFC. I expect the Bucs to win. The fact that I don't have to lay 3.5 is thrilling. I think that Tom Brady is going to look the best he's looked all year, thanks to the fact that he has the extra rest and the team's got a little momentum. This is probably, I know it's a road favorite, but it's probably my favorite play of the week. Tampa -3. This feels to me like a 24-10 Tampa Bay victory, maybe 21-10. I don't see Cleveland scoring a lot of points. I like Tampa laying the 3 points. Next, Tennessee, a home dog against Cincinnati. Tennessee getting 2.5. So this is very, very, I think Cincinnati's good. Don't get me wrong. But this is a very, very simple pick for me. This is a top 5 coach in Vrabel against a bottom 10 coach in Zach Taylor. Give me Vrabel and give me the points. I think that the Titans, their defense is exceptional. They are going to run the hell out of the football. They know exactly who they want to be. They are coming off a bit of an extended rest, the mini bye, because they played on Thursday night last week against Green Bay. I think the Titans, I don't trust them as a Super Bowl contender. But do I trust them in the regular season to find ways to keep games close and potentially steal a victory? Absolutely. Do I think Derrick Henry is going to be able to run on Cincinnati? I do. Do I think that Mike Vrabel should not be an underdog at home against anyone other than the 3 or 4 best teams in football? I do. I like the Titans plus 2.5.
The Titans have covered 8 straight against the spread, but still are getting disrespected by Vegas. Did you consider putting this in the Be Careful?
I didn't, because I actually think the public is going to be all over Cincinnati. Okay. I think the public, I think Cincinnati's good, and Cincinnati, because of the quarterback mismatch, Burrow versus Tannehill, I would expect that, to me, if this were to be in Be Careful, it would be careful as in they're daring you to pick the Bengals. You don't even have to lay the full 3 points. The Bengals are defending AFC champions. All those reasons. I like the Titans. I don't know that the Titans are going to win. And it's weird to pick a team getting less than 3 if you don't know if they're going to win. But I see this being a 1-2-3-point game that either team can win. I have 5 of those outcomes go my way. Tennessee by 1-2-3, Cincinnati by 1-2, all go my way in Tennessee plus 2.5. The only way I lose, Cincinnati it wins by 3, which of course is on the board. I like the Titans plus 2.5 though. And lastly, I'm off that Raiders narcotic. They got me a nice win last week. We're now leaving them to the dustbin of history. Seattle laying 3.5 at home against Las Vegas. So Seattle also coming off a bye. The Raiders coming off a win, which maybe made them feel better than they actually should. Seattle's ability. I think Geno's going to have a huge game. I think Geno played really well after making a brutal mistake against Tampa in Germany a couple weeks ago. A couple beautiful passes. I think Seattle's going to be able to run the ball. I think Seattle also recognizes the Niners are coming, and that if Seattle wants to stay in control of that division and at the very least stay in really good position to be a wild card if the Niners catch them, they can't screw around with Vegas. I don't expect Vegas to put together 60 quality minutes. I wasn't overly impressed by Vegas in the win over the Broncos. It's just that the Broncos offense is so terrible. Seattle laying 3.5. Of course, you'd rather have it at 3, but 3.5 is fine. To me, this feels like a 24-17 Seahawks victory. I really like the extra rest for Seattle. I actually think this year, I think they have the quarterback edge. I know they have the coaching edge. I know they have the defensive edge. For all those reasons, I'm fine laying the 3.5 points. Seattle minus 3.5 against Vegas. So go ahead. Is there something you want to say about this game?
No, I love that one. I'm definitely putting money on that game.
There we go. You and me. Is that the first one of my 5 you really like?
No, I like that one and the Cleveland-Tampa Bay.
You like both of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Makes me a little nervous. I might be on the square side of those. Detroit plus 10 against Buffalo. That's a 7-point Buffalo victory. Giants plus 9.5 at Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's a 3-point game in one direction or another. The Giants could win it. Tampa laying the 3, Tennessee plus the 2.5, and Seattle minus the 3.5. That's our 5 picks of the week. Smells like 4-1. Smells like we're getting back to 500 after Thanksgiving, as promised. We'll go through the other 11 games for week 12 in the NFL, episode 99 of What's Right. That's next. With Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor. All right, welcome back in episode 99, week 12 NFL gambling show. We just gave you our five picks of the week: Detroit plus 10, Giants plus 9.5, Tampa minus 3, Tennessee plus 2.5, and Seattle minus 3.5. Now we've got our stayaways, our be carefuls, and our perfectly priced. For the three stayaways are New England at Minnesota, Denver at Carolina, and Chicago at the Jets. New England at Minnesota is more of a theoretical stay away for good gambling purpose reasons, and then I'll talk about the actual game, okay? If you have a really strong feel on New England, Minnesota, so be it. Go ahead and bet it. Here's what I forbid you to do if you are watching this show and you're a gambler. I forbid you from potentially ruining your Thanksgiving night by chasing your early day Thanksgiving losses, if they exist, by firing a last shot desperation, probably semi-drunk, semi-annoyed with the family bet on Patriots Vikings. This is how divorces happen. This is how kids get angry at parents. This is, you're going to spend all morning and afternoon watching games. You might not even be that interested in Patriots Vikings. And then all of a sudden, you're stuck a bit before Sunday even gets here, and you're going to be firing big money on Pat's Vikings coin flip, because, and your family's going to be annoyed. They're going to want to play a nice game of Monopoly or sit around, you know, the fire and talk, and you're not going to be there because you've gambled on this game. What's up, DeMonte?
That's crazy. I mean, first of all, I know Minnesota just lost last week terribly at home.
Yeah.
But they're at home, and I know everybody's saying they're fraudulent. But what about New England? They haven't really beaten any real team.
Okay, so we will discuss the actual game in just a moment.
Okay.
But I want to make clear.
Oh, this was just a.
This is just, in general, Christmas Day NBA and now NFL as well, Thanksgiving Day football. Don't make any bets in the afternoon day of. If you want to gamble during the day, and if you feel super strong about this game, so be it. Do not, it's one thing to chase on Sunday night or Monday night football. It's another thing to chase on a holiday. And when you're supposed to, you know, be engaged with your friends and family, okay? Now on this game. So New England's defense has looked utterly dominant. Here is the concern and the reason why, for me, I didn't have a beat on this game. So New England's defense has looked great, but I would like to give you the quarterbacks that New England, they have six wins this year. Here are the six quarter or the five quarterbacks they have beaten. They have beaten Mitch Trubisky. They have beaten Jared Goff. They have beaten Jacoby Brissett. They have beaten Sam Ehlinger. And they have beaten Zach Wilson twice. So the defense has looked great against those guys. Looked dominant. Now they're playing Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not great, but he's far better than any of those six guys that I mentioned. So now you might say, okay, Nick, why wouldn't you then just take Minnesota laying the 2.5? Here's why. Minnesota is 8-2 this year. They have three games they've played poorly. The two losses and their stolen win against Detroit early in the year, where Dan the Man Campbell kicked like a 50-yard field goal up three with less than a minute left. Instead of punting away, they end up scoring a touchdown. One time they've won, two times they've lost, three times they've played poorly. In those three games, Justin Jefferson has a combined 94 yards receiving. In their seven wins, Justin Jefferson has 1,000 yards receiving, 140 yards per game. The Vikings have one way to beat you. Justin Jefferson kills you. Belichick has made his career defensively on identifying what you want to do, taking that one thing away, and making you do something else. So because of that, it's concerning to me to take the Vikings. You love the Vikings. You're betting the Vikings.
Justin
Justin Jefferson's great.
How bad you want to stop him?
Listen, Justin Jefferson's great.
And I honestly believe in Kirk Cousins a little bit more than you tend to.
Well, listen, he's better than those quarterbacks New England's beaten. That's for damn sure.
Right.
I think he's fine. He's actually having his worst season in the last few years. To me, this is a stay away. All right, Denver at Carolina is a stay away for very obvious reasons. Carolina's starting Sam Darnold, who was the worst quarterback in football his last 2 years as a starter. Denver's starting Russell Wilson. The general gambling philosophy is two bad teams, two bad quarterbacks take the points. However, Darnold in his first start in years, or I shouldn't say years, he started last year briefly for Carolina, but his first start of the year against that Denver defense scares the hell out of me. Laying points with Russell Wilson scares the hell out of me. That's a stay away. And Chicago at the Jets is a stay away simply because we don't know who's playing quarterback for either team. Poor Justin Fields has a dislocated shoulder, played some of the way last week with it. The Jets, we don't know as we're recording right now if it's going to be Zach Wilson, Mike White, or Flacco. So for our purposes, that has to be a stay away because we don't know who's playing quarterback for either team.
If you find out tomorrow that Flacco's in, are you taking the Jets?
If Flacco's in and Justin is out, yes.
Okay.
I would. I wouldn't love laying 4.5 points with Joe Flacco, but the Bears without Justin Fields won't be able to score at all.
Yeah.
I will tell you, hold on. I have to look because it almost, I wonder what the total in that game is. We don't do over-unders on this show, but I'm going to find it real quick. The total, is it really off the board? Yeah, it's okay. So it's not on that. Let me check another gambling outfit, see if they have it listed somewhere, because it wasn't listed where I just looked.
Hey,
so let me look again.
I don't care who's playing quarterback for the Jets, man. If Justin Fields isn't playing, I feel like going with the Jets is a solid bet.
I think that's probably right.
Right.
The total for the game is 40.5. So that, I was going to say that's got to be the lowest total of the week. But what do you think the total in Broncos-Panthers is? Darnold versus Russell Wilson with those two defenses.
Is 35 a thing?
I would have told you 35 is not a thing. It is 36.5. That's got to be the lowest total in a decade in the NFL, unless there was like a massive weather event.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the 36.5.
Yeah, that's.
And it feels like an under.
You're right.
36.5. I mean, 17-10 feels like about as high scoring as it could get. And that's 27.
Yeah.
36.5. I don't know. I guess the way 36.5 gets to an over is it's 17-17 goes to overtime and it's 20-17 at 37 points. All right. So those are all stayaways. Now to the be careful line. Be careful is Baltimore at Jacksonville, the Rams at the Chiefs, the Saints at the Niners, and Pittsburgh at Indy. Okay. Baltimore at Jacksonville is a be careful purely because my ban is still in place.
Yeah.
You guys haven't allowed me to bet them. I love the Jags this week.
I honestly think you should be thankful, given Doug Peterson's 1-4 against the spread after a bye.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I guess I am thankful. I think the Jags win.
And is your ban up?
This is the last week.
Yeah.
This is the last week of my Jags ban. But I think they win. I think the Jags faintly keep their season alive
against your boy
with
Lamar?
A victory. Lamar hasn't played well lately.
Yeah.
And didn't play very well against Carolina. But the only reason this is, this really shouldn't be a be careful game, guys. I like the Jags. I just put it
be
there.
Be careful for
because
you.
Because you guys won't, you guys are making me be careful on Jacksonville. All right. Rams at Chiefs.
Too many points.
It's so many points. 14 and a half. Now, the Rams offense, Stafford's out, Wolford's out, it's Bryce Perkins. The Chiefs haven't blown anyone out in a bit. Feels like they're ripe for it. I also, though, if there was ever a game that the Chiefs will be sleepy, disinterested, they clinched the division essentially last week in stirring fashion against the Chargers. They are now playing a team that is drawing dead with a third-string quarterback. And you can't take the Rams.
Because right.
You just can't. Like, in order for them, like, how many points the Chiefs are going to score a minimum of 27.
I was going to say 28.
Yeah, can the Rams get to 13? I don't know that they can. The Chiefs defense, all of a sudden, Chris Jones, you know, looks like a defensive player of the year candidate. But it's too many points. You can't lay 14 and a half points even with the Chiefs, especially because the Chiefs tend not to blow out terrible teams. Even the Jags game, Jags not terrible, but even that Jags game, they were up 20 to nothing and then let the Jags hang around enough to where they only won by 10. And so
Jags are kind of bad though.
Everybody thinks Jags are a bad team but me. But it's just, I would be careful. The Chiefs, you know, they blew out the Cardinals when the Cardinals were supposed to be good. They blew out the Bucks. They blew out the Niners. Like, the
They're
Chiefs, peak motivation,
teams.
Peak motivation. But against bad teams, I don't know. It's just too many points. All right, New Orleans at San Francisco is a be careful because everyone is going to be on the Niners. And listen, the Saints stink. They have no quarterback. They have the worst coach in the league. The Niners just looked great on national TV. But be careful of the team that just looked dominant on national television, particularly on a short week, because this line should be 7. It's 9.5. So be careful. I'm not telling you to bet the Saints with the Niners having those weapons and that defense against the Saints quarterback situation. I'm not telling you to bet the Saints. You're going to bet the Niners. I already know it. Be careful, guys. I do like the Niners in a 7-point tease. Get the Niners down to -2.5. I like them in that spot. I don't like them -9.5. Be careful. Pittsburgh at Indy. All right. I really should bet the Steelers. And I might add them. Maybe I'll have extra picks because Thanksgiving has its own little day. This is, I said earlier, Mike Vrabel versus Zach Taylor. I'm now getting the same amount of points with Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin against Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
You know what?
You're moving it in live time?
I don't know if I'm allowed to. Thanksgiving special. 6 picks this week. Pittsburgh, we're doing a 6th pick. Happy Turkey Day, everybody. We're doing a 6th pick. I know it's going to screw up our math. I know it's going to be, one of these coming weeks I'll only do 4, so we'll get back on track.
Okay.
You know, next week we'll only do 4, but we're adding this one.
And then we'll just take out your Jags pick. Or you could just do...
Okay, leave the Jags alone.
Okay.
Pittsburgh getting points against the Colts. It shouldn't be a be careful. It's a must-bet Pittsburgh. It is a must-bet Pittsburgh. Matt Ryan is going to crumble when TJ Watt strip-sacks him. Jeff Saturday is going to get out-coached and out-foxed by Mike Tomlin. Pittsburgh +2.5. Sorry to our graphics team. It's our 6th pick of the week. We like it. It's not a be careful. It's a must-bet. Getting points with Tomlin against Saturday. It's a must bet. All right, perfectly priced now. Atlanta, Washington. Washington is a tick better. They're at home. This is the Washington is very alive for the playoffs. Atlanta's also very alive technically for the playoffs. I think this is a short Washington win. I think the pricing is exactly right. Houston at Miami. This does feel like the reason I'm calling it perfectly priced is because you can't have a favorite of much more than 13. And if the Chiefs are 14.5 point favorites against a third string quarterback, the Dolphins can't be more than that. But this feels like a two-touchdown Miami victory. The only concern is Miami off the bye, overlooking the Texans, and let the Texans hang around a bit. But this is the right line. The Texans have been terrible,
yeah,
truly terrible. And they, by the way, might be making a quarterback change. We don't yet know that. The Chargers getting 4. The Chargers laying 4, pardon me, at Arizona. That's exactly right. The Chargers are not a bad team. Arizona, meanwhile, just had to fire they had a coach, DeMonze. So they had a coach on their team who, in the offseason, got accused of domestic assault, got sentenced to a year suspended sentence, and they kept him on the team until it became out publicly. So then he resigned or they fired him. It just came out this morning. They had a coach allegedly grope a woman in Mexico City that they had to fire. We don't know what their quarterback situation is. The team is a total mess. So obviously they should be dogs against a good team. The pricing is right because the Chargers have not shown, and Mike Williams assuming he's going to be out again after briefly coming back against the Chiefs. Chargers not shown the ability to blow anybody out. So the Chargers -4 is just about right. Expect the Chargers to win in a game maybe closer than it should be. And then Green Bay at Philly, to me, is Philly minus a touchdown, Philly -7. That's also just right. Like, Philly is, to me, I understand they have a great record. I don't expect Philly to pour it on Green Bay. I think Philly minus a touchdown is exactly right. What's up?
All right. Given the last 2 weeks, I can't tell if the 7 is just really respectful to try. So the Eagles are very disrespectful to Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay's no good.
I mean, they're no good, but the Eagles haven't looked great. They just faced Jeff Saturday and whoever the hell else they faced the week before.
Yeah, and Washington. They lost to Washington. They eked out a win against the Colts. I still think Green Bay is going to have no chance of consistently moving the ball on Philadelphia's defense. So I like Philadelphia a lot as a teaser leg. Right. I like them a little bit -7, but 7's the right number for this. So there's our perfectly priced games. Bonus pick. How about that? The Steelers getting slid into our Knicks picks this week. So we have 6. Look, our graphic seems the best. Our new picks of the week. Detroit +10, Giants +9.5, Tampa -3, Tennessee +2.5, Seattle -3.5. And Pittsburgh +2.5. That's how we're going to get above 500. 5-0 was because we're 3 games under. 4-1 will only get us to 500. 5-0 would get us above 500, but 5-0 is tough. 5-1, however, easy street. We're doing it. We're giving you our right move, which hasn't been great. I've got a teaser for you. All that and an NFL Hall of Fame note that I want to wrap the show with. That's all next. What's right? Welcome back in What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 99, our week 12 gambling show. We just gave you our 6 picks this week. Next week, we'll do 4. This week, we're doing 6 because we had to include Pittsburgh. The right move this week is going to be one of our 2 favorites. We're going to lay the 3 with Tampa.
Yep.
That's going to be our right move this week. I believe in, let me see what this graphic looks like now. Oh my God. Wow. I'm a pilgrim. DeMonte's got a turkey on his head. You know what? This is why people subscribe on YouTube. For this type of work, our graphics team does. I like that. So our right move this week is going to be Tampa -3. I just think that Cleveland's going to have a really hard time moving the ball on Tampa's defense. I think Brady's going to look good coming off the bye with a bit of momentum. Now, Brady found himself in a new bit of controversy. He's post-divorce now, but Brady was all over that FTX crypto company that's, you know, stole all their company's money and it's gone and he's getting sued, but he'll be fine. But I like Tampa minus the 3. I mentioned to you guys that I was going to have an exotic for you, that I was going to have a teaser that we like a lot. So we are going to do a 7.2 team teaser, very straightforward. And the 7-point teaser is going to be San Francisco down to minus 2.5 and the Eagles to the money line. So it's the Eagles to win against Green Bay, the Niners to win by at least 3, a nice, simple teaser, nice little 2-team 7-point teaser. Last week's teaser that we gave out, by the way.
You can do 2-team teasers?
Yeah. You just got to
do a 3-team teaser. I like that. I'm just going to add the Chiefs to it.
You're going to add, you not at 14.5. You're not. I forbid you. You got to, if you're going to do a teaser,
you got to tease them all the way through the 6.
Through the 7. Yeah, you got to get the key numbers. So
seven,
like
7.5.
Yeah, you don't want to tease. You're just not getting enough value. So if the line gets to the Chiefs minus just 14, that's fine. If it gets to the Chiefs minus 13.5, that's great, because then you get them to the 6.5. If you want a third leg for it, Miami's not a bad third leg because they're minus 13 right now. So yeah, you get them to minus 6. The other thing with a 7-point teaser that you could do is take the Titans or the Steelers plus 2.5 up to plus 9.5.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you can tease either side of it, obviously.
We got a little breaking news.
What's that?
Zach Wilson just got benched.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Did they say who's starting?
No. No, not yet.
The informed he is not starting. I mean, that seemed like it was foregone conclusion. Yeah, he can't. You can't be the worst quarterback in the league in back-to-back years and unlikable. You just can't.
Why don't people like Zach Wilson?
Because he won't take accountability.
Okay.
He was asked.
Oh, yeah. So what happened in the...
He was asked. He was like, do you feel bad for letting the defense down? He's like, do you feel you let the defense down? I was like, no. Yeah. No. I mean, you scored 3 points, buddy. You kept throwing near picks. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So Zach Wilson out. We still don't have enough information there. But to me, the real question is Justin Fields going to play?
Right.
I shouldn't say I knew, but it sure looked like Zach Wilson was getting benched. The question was, is Justin Fields going to play, and is it going to be Mike White, or is it going to be Joe Flacco? But that is good news to have for us from the show. All right. Before we get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame little bonus segment we're going to do, what's the offer this week, Demonze?
So the offer is, I call this one, Be Thankful for Demonze, because I'm giving you free money, essentially. Since 2004, favorites on Thanksgiving are 43-8 straight up. So I'm giving you a chance to go against Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, and Mac Jones in one bet. Buffalo, Dallas, and Minnesota to win outright at plus 177.
I appreciate the offer. I'm going to reject it.
Okay.
I'm going to reject that offer because I actually think the Giants can win. And the Patriots game concerns me. So there's not enough value to me there in that. And so I'm going to reject the offer. That is a good note that they're 43-8 straight up. And I appreciate that.
Bonus offer.
Okay, what's the bonus offer?
Jags money line versus Baltimore, plus 165.
So wait, your silly 3-team parlay was plus 177. And the Jags and the Prince that was promised, just that to beat Baltimore, yeah, is plus 165?
And the offer is also going to win, but yes.
I accept that one.
There you go.
I am taking that offer. The Jags plus 165.
Just couldn't help it.
I can't help it. And it's good for the Chiefs if the Ravens lose. So I'll be rooting against the Ravens. Yeah, you want the one seed to be as smooth sailing as possible.
Right.
The path to the one seed, I should say. So, okay, I'm taking that offer. So our 5 picks of the week, our 6 picks of the week, Detroit plus 10, Giants plus 9.5, Tampa minus 3, which is the right move, Tennessee plus 2.5, Seattle minus 3.5, and Pittsburgh plus 2.5. We are also doing a 7-point teaser of, oh, look at that. Look at that Thanksgiving
that
image.
That was fast.
They made that quickly. They added the Steelers on there. Our graphics team is wonderful. Our teaser.
That honestly looks like Nana's kitchen.
It does a bit. You're absolutely right. It looks like her dining room. Our 7-point teaser is the Niners to 2.5 and the Eagles to the money line. Our bonus offer is the Jags. Now I just want 5 minutes to talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So the 25 semifinalists were revealed yesterday, and only 5 guys get in. And I happen to believe the Pro Football Hall of Fame does it better than any other sports Hall of Fame because it is so damn difficult to get in, but they still let in 5 guys every year. So the evidence of how difficult it is to get in, I'm going to quickly go through these 25 guys. And we're going to try to pare it down, and it will be impossible. Okay? So there are 5 new guys on the ballot, first time eligible. Jari Evans, who's an offensive lineman who is not going to get in on his first try and is a fringe Hall of Famer. Joe Thomas, one of the best left tackles ever, has to be in. Dwight Freeney, one of the best pass rushers ever, has to be in eventually. James Harrison had the greatest play in Super Bowl history, won a Defensive Player of the Year award, eventually gets in. I don't think gets in first ballot. And Darrell Revis, who must get in immediately. So to me, Thomas and Revis are no doubters immediate guys. That leaves us 3 spots remaining. Here are the names. Eric Allen, he's a 3-time semifinalist, corner for a long time. He's not going to get in. He, to me, is a good example of why the NFL Hall of Fame is so great. He was a great player, not a Hall of Famer. Jared Allen, I put him in the same boat. Jared Allen played for my Chiefs, was an excellent pass rusher. This is his 3rd time as a semifinalist. He's not in. Willie Anderson, a tackle for a long time. It's his 3rd time as a semifinalist. He's not going to get in. Rondae Barber, the corner for the Bucs for 15 years. To me, he is flatly not a Hall of Famer. On that defense, Sapp, Brooks, Simeon Rice, John Lynch, we're all better than him. You have 4 guys better than him on those Bucks defenses. He's not in. Anquan Boldin, 2nd time as a semifinalist, not a Hall of Famer. Excellent player, not a Hall of Famer. Henry Ellard, this is his 1st time as a semifinalist. I think it's last year on the ballot. He's not going to get in. I can't give you much Henry Ellard analysis, if I'm being honest. I mentioned Jari Evans, London Fletcher. His 1st time as a semifinalist, I don't think he's getting in. Freeney is a possible. James Harrison is a possible. Rodney Harrison, he is a Hall of Famer. It's his 2nd time as a semifinalist. I don't know if he gets in. Devin Hester, to me, he's the greatest return man ever by a mile. He should get in. I would put him in. This is his 2nd time as a semifinalist. Torrey Holt, 9th time as a semifinalist. 9 times he's been to the stage. He's never gotten in. We always say he'll get in eventually, but you have new guys that come up, you know what I mean? Like that have to get in. He's a possible. Andre Johnson. I thought he was one of the best receivers of his era. Played for the Texans. His touchdown numbers kill him. I thought he was a Hall of Fame level player. You can't put him in before Torrey Holt. Set him aside. Robert Mathis. Maybe he gets in eventually, but you can't put him in before Freeney when Freeney and Mathis were the 2 pass rushers for the Colts and Freeney was better. Revis, I already mentioned. Steve Smith, his 2nd time as a semifinalist. To me, he's not a Hall of Famer. Fred Taylor, 4th time as a semifinalist. He's not a Hall of Famer. Joe Thomas, I mentioned. Zach Thomas, this is the linebacker for the Dolphins. 5th time as a semifinalist. To me, he's not a Hall of Famer. Hines Ward, 7th time as a semifinalist. He's not a Hall of Famer. He might get in eventually because he does so much media. Not a Hall of Famer. DeMarcus Ware, to me, is a Hall of Famer. I think he needs to get in short order. This is 2nd time as a semifinalist. Ricky Waters, 3rd time as a semifinalist. He's not a Hall of Famer. Reggie Wayne is, to me, a Hall of Famer, but was not as good as Andre Johnson, who I don't think is going to get in. And Reggie Wayne had better longevity, but it's so hard, and Torrey Holt's going to get in before any of them anyway. Vince Wilfork, two-time semifinalist. I think Vince was a great player. I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer. Patrick Willis, this is his fourth time as a semifinalist. Patrick Willis has to be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. He had a very short career, but was utterly dominant. And then there's Darren Woodson, seven times as a semifinalist. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. So if I were doing a ballot this year, my five would be Revis and Joe Thomas, first ballot, no doubters. I would put Hester in. I would put Dwight Freeney in on the first ballot. And I would put Patrick Willis in. That would mean Torrey Holt is waiting once again, but those would be my five. Hester, Freeney, Willis, Revis, and Thomas, with the next guys up, James Harrison, DeMarcus Ware, Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne. And it's going to be really, really hard for these other guys because I don't even the... Let me check this real quick, and then we can move on. Who is eligible for PFHOF 2023? I want to see who is eligible for the class in 2023, like the new guys that'll be coming up. Okay, hold on. I have to check the next year. There we go. So that was 2023 is the one we're looking at right now. In 2024, Julius Peppers, Antonio Gates, Eric Berry are the guys that become eligible. Eric Berry's not going to get in. My guy, Jamal Charles, who's one of my favorite players ever, and if he was used properly, would have been a Hall of Famer. 2025, Luke Kuechly becomes eligible, and some other guys. So some of these, there aren't a bunch of must-put-in first-ballot guys the next few years. So some of these other guys will get in. But those are my five. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with your family. Good luck betting. Don't chase in that Vikings-Patriots game. What's right?